Good morning.
It is March 16th, and this morning I would like to talk with you about a subject that I'm not a versed expert in, however, that I am very much interested in and have been trying to research on some level for the past year or so. Well, probably closer to 2 years. And it plays a big part in my current major work in progress, Warlock's Chronicle, A Rise to Power, which I am hoping will be part of a 6-book series that tells the story of how a young man's discovery of himself takes a rather unexpected turn and reveals quite a bit of history in terms of betrayal, blood feuds, war, and just utter chaos. Yeah, pretty hard to believe, right? How one person's life, birth could be tied into that. No, I'm not playing with prophecy, but I am hoping this will make sense when it's picked up and read, because I am one of those who has a strong belief that no life, no existence is without purpose. We all are here for some reason. We may not know of it when we come to young adulthood. We may not know it even come halfway into adulthood. Some of us spend our whole lives looking for it. And this is something that I try to touch on along with many other issues in this piece. What does this have to do with swordsmanship? Well, first, I would like to give you a glimpse of the world and influences of the world in which the main character of this series, Xavier Drasko, is born into. As a lover of Arthurian lore, because I do love King Arthur, Merlin, a lot of the fantasy around that, and the Fae and the like, I have drawn a lot of my inspiration for this piece from medieval and Renaissance eras. This does not mean that my work will be historically accurate to a fault, because I do like to take my own twist on things, and I am also trying to put in my own imagination into it. So while I do love reading some historical fiction, this is not what this piece is. Xavier, unlike a number of young men or boys at the age of 14 during the medieval or Renaissance age, is not regarded as an adult. He is not engaged to marry. He has not been properly trained in certain things that most nobles or rulers or lords' sons would have been taught. There are reasons for that, but I don't want to spoil it. I'd rather that when these books hit the shelves that it is picked up and read, so as not to ruin that element. But there is a reason for that, and it has to do a lot with the family dynamics. But as a result of Xavier's improper training, that is going to be part of the contrast in terms of the importance of swordsmanship, as even in the medieval times, there was a right and wrong way to train. And a lot of Xavier's lack of training is going to come from, as I said before, family dynamic. And I'm also hoping to incorporate trauma. We all experience it, no matter what life time we're born in or what issues we may be facing. A number of us, unfortunately, at least in some point in our life, face a form of trauma, whether it's a personal trauma that we've been injured and in a place where we usually felt safe, or there's been an accident involving someone that we care about, or we witness something utterly terrible. These are the sort of things that I am hoping to use to make Xavier relatable and also build on the importance of discipline and the proper practices of swordsmanship. In so doing, I am also hoping to utilize a particular form of sword fighting that you do see in fiction a lot, but hopefully with a little bit of a new twist. Now, for those of you who have watched the Lord of the Rings movies, this is going to come as very familiar. We've all seen Gandalf fight, right? Staff in one hand, sword in the other. This is what we would call a form of dual wielding. We have seen it in, I believe, other films as well. I'm not sure if I can remember all of them, but things like The Gladiator and a lot of our fantasy-based film. This is not uncommon in terms of fantasy. What I hope to do with Xavier's particular form of dual wielding is to illustrate other things. For instance, after doing a fair amount of research in terms of the usefulness of dual wielding, I have come to discover that it is not bad for single combat, but it is a dangerous form to use in the battlefield. Interesting, no? And also presents a bit of a challenge in sense of two aspects. One, as I said, it was not a common practice, but it was practiced during these times. I believe there has been some record of the early 1500s of this form of fighting, dual wielding. Now, in addition to that, it not being common, it is not good for war, for battles. That could be problematic for a warlock, could it not? I plan on addressing both these things. And this is where I'm hoping things will get a little interesting, because they certainly were for me. In terms of the commonality, it is becoming a common thing in fiction. Why is that? Kind of wondered about that, and I think about it. And when I look at characters like Gandalf the Grey, and characters like Maximus from The Gladiator, both of these characters, while they do suffer crippling blows, they come back with a vengeance. There's a strength about them. This power, this aura of power about them that makes them charismatic, that draws people to them, that makes people enamored with them. While this is something I have to confess I would love to see happen with Xavier, that is not the point of the dual wielding. I thought to myself, when I heard how uncommon the practice was, and not to mention how dangerous it could be and how much discipline it takes, I asked myself, what if it was common, but not to everyone, but to, say, a certain people with a certain set of rules, with a certain set of standards? And it clicked. So in my series, I'm hoping to cover throughout the books the importance of a few things. What are those things? Well, for starters, versatility. In life, just as I would imagine you would have to do on the battlefield, you need to be prepared, or at least know how to respond to a number of situations. And if you were to be trained to be a warrior, and I'll admit I have not served in the military, so I can only imagine what that's like. But for me, it kind of makes me think of what some of our soldiers might endure. Various types of training, preparing you for various types of situations. And given that Xavier is being raised by a warlord and a tyrant, his focus would be strength and power. And considering his bloodlust, he may not be as concerned, perhaps, as he should be with that same complex, though you would think he would, but there's reasons for that as well. So when Xavier enters training, he is taught the importance of versatility by a former soldier who has taken on the living of a blacksmith. Now, you're probably going to ask, how is that going to work? To me, a true artisan, a true artiste of any craft is not only going to practice it, but is going to live it, is going to know it, and quite intimately. So to me, it made sense that Xavier's mentor would not only be someone who's known war, who's experienced it, but understands weapons, understands the costs, as well as the rewards. And without going into too much detail on this particular character, who I have dubbed Bartholomew Strahl, I will say this much. His teachings are going to be of the new sword style that I'm trying to put together, which I'm calling the Alvanian sword style. This style will focus around what I've just talked about. Versatility. Being able to adapt to your surroundings, but also the art of using two weapons. Even in training, within the first installment, a way I try to express this same versatility is the weapon choice. You start with wooden swords. You graduate to the real thing. That seems pretty basic, right? Well, I decided to throw in a twist. When you're learning how to use weapons, I imagine it's not so different from perhaps using a bowling ball. You don't use one that's beyond your weight. You don't lift something that you can't carry, that's going to drag you down to the ground, that you're not going to be able to use. I know that's perhaps not the best metaphor, but ideally, that is what I figure, is that you're not going to use something that is beyond your weight without proper training. So that is going to be a part of the swordsmanship. I hope I'm making sense. I do tend to ramble. But this is also a subject I'm very interested in. Another thing that was addressed too, as I mentioned at the beginning, was the difficulty in terms of battle. This style, even the use of two swords, whether they're the same size or different, you run into the same problem. And that is that you leave yourself open. It is not the best form of defense, say, on the battlefield. In a duel, it can be quite useful. It can be quite versatile, because you could use one sword to block a single sword if need be, or if you cross them correctly, you can still bring out that other arm without slashing yourself to give a counterattack. However, those two swords, as I said again, leave you vulnerable and exposed. Whereas if you use a sword and shield, you at least have a little bit of protection. So when it comes to Xavier's dual wielding, while he initially will learn to use two long swords, it will not be without the graduation from one level to the next, which will be played upon in later books as Xavier's fighting experience grows with him. Because as I said, he's a late bloomer. He is outside the norm of medieval practices and the Renaissance world, because while I'm taking some of the practices and influences from those worlds, my world that I am building, the world of Stavinia, is not completely historically accurate. One of the other parts of swordsmanship that I'm playing with here that I want to build on, other than versatility, is motivations, the discipline. I myself don't use guns or any form of weapon, but to me, when you go in to train to get your license for these weapons, at least on the legal aspect of it, I believe there is a form of discipline, especially if you've had a military background. You learn how to use these weapons, not only properly, but you also have to feel the weight of a life holding them. That is something else I am hoping to touch upon in terms of swordsmanship and just the very practices and beliefs involved in this swordsmanship, is you not only get to use these weapons as a form of protection or aggression, you use them, they kind of become a moral code. Almost in a sense, kind of similar to chivalry and knighthood, but not quite the same. Because your ambitions and the things that drive you when you're carrying these weapons are just as important, if not more important, than your ability to use them. Then I bet you're asking why I wanted to go with dual wielding. This was a particularly hard thing for me because over the past 2 years, while I've been doing research off and on, I have asked myself that question a number of times. Is this the right choice? And given the world I've built and that I am building for Xavier to live in, yeah, I would have to say yes, it is. Because nothing came easy to him. And even as the storyline progresses, nothing continues to. Xavier is a character that I am hoping to portray as a fighter, as someone who stands up for his beliefs, even if they are outside societal norms. For instance, some of those societal norms, like you would find in medieval and Renaissance days, was the common abuse of women, children, and just the vulgarity of violence and even some of the racism and even the religious wars, such as the Crusades and, yeah, really, the Crusades are the best image for me that I can think of in relation to those times. Am I by any means trying to promote any form of political or religious stance? No. But these are ambitions. These are part of what drives the intention. And to be honest, I wanted to do something outside the norm. I see swords and shields all the time in medieval lore and fantasy lore. I see staves nowadays. I don't see a lot of dual wielding in terms of same size weapons. I don't see characters that are out for more than vengeance. Not that I think vengeance can be a bad motivator. It can be quite a powerful motivator, especially depending on what direction you take with it. But I wanted Xavier's motivations to be much deeper than that. That's not to say that there isn't the slightest inclination of revenge or vengeance. No. As anybody who has been hurt, betrayed, or wronged, it would seem only natural to have that kind of emotional response. But what I want to play with the swordsmanship is the responsibility that comes with the actions taken, the things that are stood up for, the beliefs that would lead a person to violence, and perhaps a little bit on touching on when to be passive and when to be aggressive, and that fine line that we as people often tend to find ourselves crossing or having to ask ourselves if we should cross. So when I came up with this Elvenian swordsman style, it's not just, oh, you use two swords. I ideally see this practice of swordsmanship as a dual-wielding form, one that allows the swordsman to go beyond traditional sword and shield to sword and dagger, dual swords, dual axes, etc., to make it to where this fighter has the ability to adapt to various situations. Does it by any means make this character invulnerable? No. No. Every person has a weakness. And that is something that will remain for Xavier in the stories, all the series. And one weakness that I'm hoping is somewhat noticeable from the beginning is his own temperament. As he will be a character that has been subject to abuse, neglect, witnessed drug abuse and alcoholism, amongst other things that we see ever so much in our youth today and homes today. This is something that seemed to be all too common to the medieval world and Renaissance world, but I wanted to touch upon it in a new way. And to incorporate it in the swordsmanship, I wanted to incorporate it into his ambitions and perhaps fears. So another key part of the swordsmanship would be for him to realize not only others' weaknesses, but his own. So you could kind of consider it something that I drew some martial arts inspiration from as well, as martial arts do require a lot of discipline and try to get you to focus on much outside of just learning how to throw a punch or a kick, but that you also want to understand when to throw them and when not to. So swordsmanship for me in this book is going to be a lot more than fighting. It's going to be the growth of a person, the growth of his conscience, the growth of his awareness, and the slow diminishing of what some may interpret as naivety or ignorance. Because when we choose to fight or take any form of physical action, there will always be consequences. And as he is going to be called upon as a warlock, it is clear that he is going to engage in battles of some form outside of magic and involving magic as well. But today I want to touch on the physical, because the physical is very much a part of the world today, just as much as it was then, back in the medieval times and beyond. So some key points to take away from what I plan to do with swordsmanship with this series is A, versatility, B, ambition, C, discipline, and of course, like with anything else, there's going to have to be form. He is going to have to learn how to utilize these weapons and the ease or difficulty with which they come. For instance, when you use a long sword or a longer sword and something small like a rapier, the longer sword is probably going to be better for your defense, and you could throw the dagger in for jabs, but it would be easier to use than the two long swords because both of them are together, they're like 16 pounds. On average, I think a single long sword was around 8 to 10 pounds. I'll have to double check, but I'm pretty sure it's 8 pounds back then, that they were averaging around 8 pounds, which for some is still a lot of weight to hold in one arm. For a growing teenager who gradually is trained up to that, probably not so much. But say, like for someone like me, though I'm a mom and have lifted two children that average a little over 100 pounds together, like around closer to 150 pounds, it's still really hard to do without straining my back or legs. But with the proper training, if I was more into weight building and actually applied the time and dedication, yeah, I could probably do it with ease. But alas, that's not the case. But I'm hoping that makes a pretty vivid and relatable metaphor for what I'm trying to explain and touch base on here. Form is also important in terms of how one stands. If you're fully facing someone, you could be leaving yourself open. Whereas if you turn your back on someone, well, you're likely to get a knife or arrow in the back. Turn slightly to the side, you're not completely open, but you're not completely closed either. So little things like this, like form, the discipline, the being able to adapt, the versatility, and the ambition that drives the weapon are all things that I'm hoping to incorporate in this form of swordsmanship. Now, if this does sound like something you've heard of before, then it's not really that original or not really that new of a twist. But for me, these are a lot of the ambitions and the core foundations of the sword style that I am trying to build, that I'm calling the Alvinian sword style based on the nation in which they originated in my book. Well, at least the first installment. I thank you for listening this morning, and if you have any insight or some thoughts or even resources that you would like to share, please feel free to leave them in the comments. I love to learn, and it's probably one of the best parts of writing and reading is the research at times. While taxing and grueling, it can also be the most inspirational and motivational pieces. So yes, if you are listening, I would love to hear your insight as I am still growing. And to be honest, I really wish one person would listen to this, because I had a writer once that was giving me quite a bit of sensational feedback on swordsmanship. And I kind of miss those conversations. But with that being said, I thank you once again for listening. And again, please, if you have any insight or knowledge on swords that you would just like to share, just want to talk, feel free to leave them in the comments. I'll be more than happy to talk with you. God bless.